The following message is from our pastor, Robert Haynes, of New Life Community in Olive Branch, Mississippi. Enjoy.
Would you like to see a simple picture based on one verse of Scripture that's going to explain how a person can have a right relationship to God? Would you like to see that picture? How about any of the rest of you? You would like to see that picture? All right. How about you, Peter? What about the guy sitting next to you, one of my good buddies, D? Would he like to see that picture? He would like to see the picture. All right, good. Now, would you like to learn how you could share the whole gospel message with just a pencil or a pen and a napkin and one verse of Scripture that you have hidden away in your heart? Would you like to learn that today?
Yeah.
That actually sounds pretty exciting, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right, well, here's what I want you to do right now. The first thing I want you to do is I want you to take out a piece of paper. You can take out a piece of paper. You could take out a napkin. You know what? If you wanted to, you could even use your bulletin for this purpose. You could if you wanted to. Use your bulletin. The next thing I want you to do is I want you to write on your piece of paper this verse. This is Romans chapter 6:23. But let's say this verse together. Are you ready? We'll read it together. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. One more time. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's one verse from the book of Romans chapter 6, verse number
23.
And so we're going to see the gospel in a verse today. This is also called one-verse evangelism. It's used by the Navigators, and Josh Abbott and I were talking about this recently, and I thought, you know what, I'm gonna share this. Now, I've intentionally done this presentation today. I've tried to do it in exactly the same way you could sit down at a kitchen table or at a restaurant booth or whatever, and you could draw this out. This, because when Josh showed it to me, he took out a napkin. He said, hey, would you like to see a picture of how you can share the gospel with just one verse? I said, I would. And at Waffle House, he took out a napkin and drew this out almost exactly like you're going to see it today. So that's why I want you to draw it out as we go through it today. Why do I want you to do that? So you'll know how to do it. And you'll know how to do it better if you actually do it before you get there and say, now, how did I do that? And actually, you practice it a couple of times, you'll find out this is actually a very easy thing to do. So here we go. The wages of sin is death. We're going to talk about some various parts of this verse. We're going to look at them a few words at a time. So the first word we want to look at is wages. And then write it down in similar position on your paper, just like that. It's real important. Put it in the right spot. You'll see as we go along. Wages. Now, let's think about wages for a minute. Wages are what we earn by our own labor, our own efforts, and our own actions. Would you say that's a fair definition of wages?
Yes.
Wages are what we earn by our own labor, our own efforts, and our actions. Now let's give some examples here. I'm going to give you a little quiz on wages. I want you to tell me yes or no. I'm going to give you an example. You tell me yes, that's wages, or no, that's not wages. Okay? Now let's keep in mind, here's the definition. Wages are what we earn by our own labor, our own efforts, and our own what? Action. Here's your quiz. You work at Walmart and they give you a paycheck. Is that wages, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. You get a commission check for selling vinyl siding. Is that wages?
Yes.
Yes, it is. You win the lottery. Is that wages?
No.
No, it's not. Now, how about you receive an inheritance from your kindly old Aunt Bertha who lives in Kalamazoo. Is that wages?
No,
that's not wages. You guys are sharp. I'm telling you, real sharp. A plus, especially over here in this section. All right? Wages, really, they're what we deserve, right? Now, for an employer to withhold from us what we deserve and what we've earned, how would you describe that if an employer said, no, I'm not going to pay you? How would you describe that?
Robbery,
theft,
sin.
What?
Federal government.
Okay. We don't work for the federal government. Or do we? What if you showed up on time, worked hard, did all that you were supposed to do, and your employer refused to pay you the money that you had earned? You would say that is not right. That's unjust. That is stealing from me. What if you studied hard? You answered all the questions on a test correctly. 100 questions, you answered them all correctly. And then, when you get your paper back, you would think if you answered 100 out of 100 correct, you would think, what grade would you earn? A 100 or an A. And you see on your paper, you get C minus. What would you think about that? I don't know about you, but when I was in college, I would be up there talking to that teacher. I would be saying, why is it I got them all right? And why did I should have gotten an A plus, right? Not a C minus. Please explain. That's not right. That's not fair. Okay? What if you trained religiously? You ate healthy. You got up early in the morning, went out running every day, and you entered a 5K race. So you do your 5K, you compete according to the rules, you cross the finish line first, what do you expect? And yet you find out you not only are not presented first place, you're not even second place, which is very important. Should miss the winner of the race, not be able to fulfill their obligations in any way that you would have to take over. Second place, you don't get third place, you don't get honorable mention, and you would be wondering, why is it I came in first, I ought to have the first place what? First place prize. You would say that's not what? That's not right. Well, that's what we have in our verse here, wages. Wages, see, are what we get because of what we've done. If we don't get what we deserve, that really would be criminal, unjust, and unfair. Well, let's consider what kind of job we've been doing. So the wages of sin is death. So let's look at our next word here and pretend this is boxing off the word sin. Circle it at the top, then write it under wages, and then put a box around it. Okay? So here's the next thing we're going to talk about, sin. Now, sin is really how the Bible describes what all of us do by nature. Now, keep in mind, wages are what we get because of what we have done, right? And sin is how the Bible describes what we have what? What we have done. You know what? Sin is actually what we do naturally. Think about it. If you have toddlers in your house, or if you have had, think back on when you had toddlers, did you ever have to teach them to do bad stuff? Little Johnny, let me explain to you how to throw a temper tantrum. When you don't get your way, I want you to throw yourself down on the floor, beat your hands like this, and scream at the top of your lungs, okay? You got it? Little Johnny says, no, I don't think I... If you just tell me I'm not going to get something, I would say, well, thank you for the consideration, and I would just be pleasant the rest of the day. That's the way little kids are naturally, right? No, they're not. You know, so sin is really what we do naturally. And really, nobody really has to learn how to sin. Most of us actually do a pretty good job of it. What is sin? You think about it. Sin is really, it's not a hard concept to understand. Sin is basically breaking God's law. Sin is lawlessness. It's a transgression of the law. When God says something, then we ought to what? When God says, don't do something, then it would be a sin if we did what? What's something God says don't do? How about you shall not steal? So you would agree, if you steal something, that's a sin. If you were in school and you didn't know the answer to some question, and you looked on your neighbor's paper and you saw their answer, and so you wrote it down. That's called what? Cheating. Which cheating is a form of what? Form of stealing. Let's say that you wanted some firewood in your fireplace and you didn't have any. So you walk across the street, make sure your neighbor's not looking. You load up some of their firewood and you take it home and put it at your house. That's called what? That's called stealing. Let's say you're hungry in the morning and you want some scrambled eggs, but you don't have any eggs. And so you sneak over to your neighbor's house that has chickens, and you go out there and you steal those eggs, right? That's a sin, right? Okay? So have any of you ever cheated at anything? cheated at a game. Oh, okay, one person over here. I see those hands. All right. What about another thing God says don't do is he says don't bear false witness. How about that? We bear false witness when we say something about somebody else or really even about ourselves that's not true. It's like we're under oath. We're supposed to tell the truth and we intentionally say something that is not so. Think about it. When you're a little kid, you're in there playing. You break something. And you and your brother are in there. Your mom comes in there and says, "Who broke it?" And you say, "He did it." That's called what? Bearing false witness. It's lying. Have any of you ever done that? I was talking to a little person actually yesterday, and I asked him. I said, "Well, have you ever sinned?" And she said, "Yeah." I said, "Have you ever told a lie?" She said, "Oh yeah." She knew what that was, and she knew she had done plenty of it. Those are things. Well, God says don't do something, and we do it. That's a sin. When God says that we ought to do something, and we don't do what he says we ought to do, is that what? That's also a sin. What's something that God says that we ought to do? Obey your parents. Okay, so disobedience. How about remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? If we don't do that, then that's a what? That's a sin. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your mind. If we don't do that, that's a what? That's a sin. All right, now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever sinned?
Yes.
Anybody?
Yeah.
Not just this morning. I'm just over the course of your life. See, and that bears witness with what the Bible says. Whether you agree to it or not, you have sinned. Because the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So, wages... That's what we deserve, right? We deserve because of what we've done. What have we done? We've sinned. Have you ever felt like God was just way out there somewhere far away from you? See, that's actually how sin makes you feel. Because the Bible says sin has separated us from God. So let's look at our next word. And death is what we're going to look at next. So draw a cliff on one side and then a cliff on the other side. The little stick man represents who? So you can, that represents, you know, like if I was drawing it, it represents me. You drawing it represents you. And on the other side, we've got God. And so we've got the wages of sin is death. And the essential idea, if you want to understand what death essentially means separation. In the Garden of Eden, God told Adam and Eve, in the day you eat of the forbidden fruit, that day, you're going to what?
Die.
You're going to die. What did Adam and Eve die that day? According to God, they died. Did they die physically? Did they die spiritually? Did they become separated from God? They had been one together with God, and now they're what? God seems so far what? Far away. And they even went and did what we do when we normally sin. A lot of times when we sin, instead of running to God, we run away from God, which is what they did. They ran away, hid themselves, tried to cover up their sin. The great cover-up, it began all in the Garden of Eden. And so death is essentially separation. When we're separated from God, and there are a lot of people that wake up every day, get something to eat, go to work, earn a living, have a family, whatever, but according to the Bible, they are dead in trespasses and sins. What is physical death? Is that a separation? Yes, physical death is a separation of the soul and spirit from the body. When your soul and spirit leave your body, that's biblically physical death. Remember Jesus on the cross, it says that he gave up the spirit? You remember that? That's physical death. When the spirit leaves the body, that's physical death. So it's a separation of the soul and spirit from the body. Then there's another kind of death the Bible talks about, and it's called the second death. In the book of Revelation, chapter 20, I think verse 10, chapter 21, verse 8, it says there's a lake that burns with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. And what that is separation from God spiritually and physically forever. See, it combines both of them together, separated from God. One of the descriptions the Bible gives of hell is that they are cast away from the presence of the Lord. That's separation. So far, that doesn't sound too great, does it? Wages, what are wages? It's what we deserve because of what we've done. What have we done? We have sinned. What do we deserve because of our sin? Death. That's what we call the bad news right there. Now, let's look at the next word we want to focus on in this verse, and it's the word B-U-T. Now, look at the verse. The wages of sin is death. And if we stop right there, you'd say, man, this is the most depressing thing I've ever heard in my whole life. You've told me that what I deserve because of what I've done is eternal death. Isn't that what the verse teaches? That's not a feel-good message, is it? Man, I feel so good about that. What I deserve based on what I've done and what I've done well in my life is I deserve to go to hell. But, aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad the story's not over right there? Aren't you glad that that's not, you know, the credits don't start rolling there and it says the end and it's like, wow, man, I'm in trouble. But, the word but introduces a significant contrast. The left side here, that's really the bad news. The right side, what we're fixing to talk about, that's the... You can't really appreciate the good news until you first at least have some understanding of the bad news. So let's talk about the good news. You see that we're separated from God. Now this word is gift. That's where you should circle that at the top, gift, and then write it here on the other side. On the one hand, notice we've got wages. On the other hand, we've got what? Gift. Now are wages and a gift, are they the same or are they different? Wages are what we earn because of what we've done and what we deserve. A gift is something we get and we don't necessarily deserve it at all. If wages are what a person earns and what they deserve, what really is a gift? It's where somebody else took their wages and they purchased something and then they give it to you, really, in the truest sense, without any regard to whether you do or can give anything back to them. Sometimes we think about salvation being a gift and we think, well, it's free. Well, is it free?
No.
It is free in, you're right, it is free in the sense that we don't pay for it, but it's not free in the sense that nobody paid for it. If you got a gift that nobody paid for, that person probably sinned in getting the gift by stealing it. So, on the one hand, we've got wages, that's not so good. On the other hand, we've got a gift. And a gift is actually pretty good. Have you ever gotten a gift? Think about this. Have you ever gotten a gift that was the wrong size? Man, I know I told y'all about this, but I love this story. At the airport when I was leaving Guatemala a couple of months ago, they had some T-shirts and it said, Guatever. You know, like whatever? Guat for Guatemala. Whatever. And I had to buy it. Had to buy it for Julian. So I'm thinking there, what size does he wear? So I got the size, and so I got the size that that I thought that he wore. And Rebecca, she liked the T-shirt, thought it was really good. She said, "You realize that this T-shirt is for a 6-year-old?" Because I got a size 6. She said the 6 means it's really that should be a typical size for a 6-year-old. I said, "So that's what those numbers mean." I didn't know. So anyway, I got the wrong size. Have you ever gotten a gift that was the wrong size?
Oh, yeah.
When I was in Venezuela several years ago, this is funny. At least I think it's funny. I was that last day where all that crew that spoke English left, and I was left there with only Osnaldo and Demetrio and Maida, none of whom spoke Spanish. Carolina Abbott's brother, sisters, and brother-in-law. And so they took me shopping because I wanted to get some stuff. So I got this, I was going to get Rebecca a shirt. This was before I was instructed to never buy clothing for Connie or Rebecca. And so there was this girls' clothing booth there. And if you've ever shopped in a foreign country, it's actually a lot of fun. If these shirts had any sizes on them, I never did see any sizes. Anyway, so I'm in my limited Spanish, I'm trying to figure out what size, and they're all up there. And so they were asking me what size, and I was kind of pointing around, and so finally, you know, there were two girls working in the booth, and one of them was kind of a larger girl, and the other one was not quite as large. And anyway, so she says, like this size right here? And I said, no, more like this one, you over here. And because in Venezuela, they only have two sizes, tight and extra tight. That's all they have. They only two sizes. So I don't know what size I got. But when I got back home, Rebecca held it up. She said, "You think I can wear it?" She said, "This would fit like a six-year-old." That's what size they wear down there, though. I told her that. It didn't sway her at all. But anyway, have you ever gotten a gift that was the wrong size?
Yes.
Something that didn't work right?
Yes.
Just wasn't really something you needed?
Yes.
What? Oh, re-gifting. I'm going to be watching for my present this year.
Good idea.
Well, this gift right here, the one we're talking about, think about it. This is good. It fits us perfectly. It works great. And it is exactly what we need. That's good, isn't it? Well, where can we get this gift? Next words here. Draw around, that should be around of God. So draw it around of God and then write of God neatly in the box at the bottom. So we've got sin comes from us. The gift is something that doesn't really originate with us. It originates with God. There's only one person who can give us this gift that we need. He has an exclusive rights to give this gift to whomever he will. It's of God. We can't make it on our own. When I was growing up, there was a TV show, I think it was MacGyver. You remember that show?
Yeah.
And MacGyver, he'd be in a bad situation, and he could always make something out of almost nothing.
Yeah.
And get out of the situation, right? He was the Gavin Pasour of his generation. He could take nothing and create something out of it. Well, you know, this type of gift here, this is a gift that is of God. Can even MacGyver make it on his own? No, he doesn't have the stuff. You know, give me a paper clip and a rubber band and a piece of string. Not working. It's not going to work. We can't buy it. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. We can't just get it well, I'm going to try hard. Try harder. It's like you're on a treadmill going really. You know, treadmills are interesting. You burn up a lot of calories, exert a lot of energy, but in reality, you're going nowhere. And the harder you try to earn eternal life, you're sweating. I'm trying to be good, and you're getting what? In reality, before God, you're not getting anywhere with that stuff. Well, what exactly is this gift? Draw a circle or a box around the words eternal life, and then write it down here at the bottom, eternal life. Now, you see the contrast again? On the left side, we've got death. On the right side, we've got what? We've got eternal life. We deserve death, but in Jesus Christ, we can have what? Life. Now, what is eternal life? Let's think about it. Eternal life is knowing God. That's actually how Jesus defined eternal life in John 17, knowing God. It is experiencing His grace and His blessings to the fullest. Eternal life is not something you have to wait and get after you die. Eternal life is something that you can actually begin to experience and enjoy right now in this life. Because Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." It's not just, well, you know, I guess when I die, maybe I'll get something good. Eternal life includes receiving a full pardon for our sins. We need that if the wages of sin is death, don't we? We need a pardon for that. It includes being restored to a right relationship with God, experiencing the joy of being part of His family, enjoying the blessings He loves to give to His children, being empowered to live in a way that God designed us to live, and beginning to walk with a sense of purpose and destiny and greatness for which God created us. By saying that it is a gift, that eternal life is a gift of God, we don't mean that it's just a gift of some higher power or just some divine being that you might choose to believe in as long as you're sincere. This gift comes through who? The gift of God is eternal life in and draw around Christ Jesus and then Lord. Or just Christ Jesus our Lord. Those four words that'll work. Look, you see how then we're going to write Lord Jesus Christ down here between us and God. And what did Jesus do for us? His death on the cross actually does bridge the gap between where we are by nature and where we can be in the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way for us to get from the wages of sin being death, over to this gift of God, which is eternal life, is to come through who? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. What did He do? He died for us on the cross. He actually paid the penalty that we owed God because of our sin. He paid for that. God doesn't just overlook it. Jesus paid the debt that we owed. Who is Jesus Christ? According to this verse, who is Jesus Christ? In one word, who is Jesus? He's Lord, right? And it's interesting, it says here, our Lord. If you're going to get this gift of eternal life, He's got to become your Lord. He's already our Lord, those of us that are Christians. He's got to become, you've got to put a Y in front of it, and He's got to become your Lord if you're to cross over here trusting completely in Jesus Christ. Now, this man over here, we actually ought to have the man actually turning away from God, running as fast as he can away from God, because that's really how we are by nature. We're not running to Him. We're not waiting on Him. We're not searching for Him. We're running away from Him. And God, by His grace and the power of His Holy Spirit, turns us to Himself, and then we walk across from death to life on the basis of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. How do we really get that gift? This is the last part of it. This is not from a word in here, but Jesus died, and in order for us to get this eternal life, we have to trust Him. It should be T-R-U-S-T all up there on top of the cross. That's how we go from death to a life. We turn from our sins, turn from ourselves, and we put our complete trust in Jesus and what He did for us on the cross. In order to leave the left side and go to the right side, we have to stop trusting in ourselves. What's really the best we can do? What's the best we deserve? That's the best. Because what do? If wages are what we get because of our actions, what we've done and what we deserve, and what we do is sin, and death is a result of that, then the best we can expect based on our own efforts is what? Is death. Well, and it's amazing that a lot of times people say, well, I just want God to give me what I deserve. No, you don't. Because what we deserve is death, according to this. We have to stop trusting in ourselves, turn from our sin, and walk over and move over and put all our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's how we get this gift of eternal life. So the question, really, the logical question is this. This gift of eternal life, have you ever received it? Have you ever turned from your sin and trusted in Jesus Christ? And if the answer to the question is no, then the next question is, well, are you ready? Are you willing today to trust in Jesus and receive this gift of eternal life and pass from spiritual death to spiritual life by the grace of God? And if you're willing to do that, we'd be happy to help you with that. We'd be happy to show you in greater detail how you can do that. Or we'll be happy to pray with you that God will just bring you to Himself. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed. Lord Jesus, thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. Thank You for the simple diagram that we've looked at today about how the wages, what we've earned by our sin, is death. But thank You that Your gift of eternal life is free to us through repentance and faith on the basis of what Jesus has done for us. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that as yet does not know You, I pray that they might come to know You, they might trust in You as Lord and Master, and that our Lord might become their Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit us at www.newlifeob.org. We hope to see you again soon.